Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Mate's behind the glass today. No Brian today. He's not here. Why is Brian not here? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. A lot has already happened in the world of sport. We've seen one World Cup match. Haaland again doing his thing. He's awesome.
He's very good.
Superstars on the move in the NBA.
A lot of them.
Kawhi's going back to Toronto. That's interesting. Where will LeBron go? Decision 2.0. Because he's breaking up with the Lakers. He's breaking up with the Lakers before the Lakers break up with him.
Yeah, that's a very LeBron thing to do. Any chance we get the announcement on TV tonight?
You think he does it tonight?
No. I think he's going to wait. Or like, I guess I should have said, on TV when he decides.
Okay.
I think it happens in the next like day or two. I just don't think it's going to be like the first move of free agency. Because he's going to want to see what other teams do first.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There'd be a lot of options. We'll kick that around a little bit later. Should Houston be one of those options for LeBron James? It is also funny the Lakers have committed to Bronny James for another year, like guaranteed his salary.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I don't know if it mattered. But we'll get to that later. Maybe some Rocket stuff. NBA free agency does start in 2 hours, too. So, and usually NBA free agency hits you like a pound of bricks.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have a lot of information in that final hour of the show.
Yeah, and hopefully the Rockets will do some fun things.
Yeah, hopefully they do some smart things. I want them to be smart this offseason.
Not your best work?
What do you mean? I just want them to be smart.
Not your worst.
I want them to have a smart offseason.
Capital S smart?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, last season they weren't so smart. This season I want them to be a little smarter.
Be a little smarter.
Yeah. Make that some smart.
I don't think that's too much to ask of Rafael Stone.
No, just be smart.
Yeah. Get smart.
Yeah. Get smart.
Just want them to be a little smart.
Be smart.
Yeah. So we'll get to that a little bit later. We do have a sweat of the day. We didn't start off very well yesterday. We lost both of our bets yesterday. So we're down 2 units. We're up 1.3 units on the year. We are on France. We want the French to do things today.
We do.
We want them to score at least 2.5 goals.
Yes, we do.
Which the 2 goals I'm not worried about. It's that half goal that really makes me nervous. But -111, France over 2.5 goals. And then we're also on the French to win by 1.5 goals.
Okay.
At -120. So go France.
So like a 3-1 game?
We need Mbappe to score a bunch of goals.
Yeah.
I mean, the more the merrier.
Yeah, the star's got to show out in this moment. He's awesome.
Mbappe! And all of these round of 32 games have been tight.
They've been excellent so far. Last night was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Like, it was like 2 great games back and forth. Today's game was fun. So far, tournament, A+.
Yeah, it's been very good. World Cup, it's awesome. Once every 4 years. We'll get to the World Cup a little bit later. Get to the Rockets, NBA free agency a little bit later. But the Astros lost a baseball game yesterday. They were bereft of runs until the 9th inning when they scored 3 of them. They pulled within a run. They're also bereft of their shortstop. They're bereft of getting challenges called in time. I mean, where do you want to start? There's so many storylines of this game. Really, two, I think.
I think the end is probably the most important.
What'd you think?
There's two ways that I view this. The first one is that I hate the rule. I hate the rule that what Christian Walker got dinged on for the challenge is even a thing. It shouldn't exist.
So what do you mean?
It should just be ABS full time.
Okay.
But by the letter of the rule, I think the umpire made the right decision, unfortunately. Where he looked in the dugout, even if there's no communication, which we can't tell from that camera angle, by the letter of the law, he can't challenge it there. I think it sucks. I don't think it should be an issue, but that's what the rule says. So I feel like they got it right. I just don't like that they did.
Yeah, he can't look in the dugout. I think the umpire, officiated it properly as well. With letter of the law, you can't look in the dugout. Just get the call right. Just get the call right.
That would help.
Don't miss the strike call. No, it was actually the Bill missed the ball call. He called it strike three. Also, like, well, I don't really know what Christian Walker was doing. Like, in my mind, Christian Walker thought it was ball four. He knew it was ball four. He was surprised when he heard strike three. And I think it was one of those like, oh my gosh, he just called that. Look in the dugout. Like his teammates, like, can you believe he called that? But like, also like, hey, like just challenge immediately. Like you thought it was ball four. I think it's clearly based on his mannerisms. Like he was walking down to first base.
Yes.
You hear strike three. I think he was stunned. Like, can you believe he just called this? But, like, I just wish he wouldn't have had that moment of being stunned and, like, just immediately challenged. You thought it was ball four. You would have been right that it was ball four. You get on base. I'm surprised that Walker had that antic. I'm annoyed that the umpire missed the call. I'm not annoyed with the umpire for denying the challenge. I agree with you on that. I'm annoyed that he missed the call. And also, I've been on this kick forever. I hate it. Whenever this was introduced as a potential rule change, I hated this. I don't like the game theory of putting it on the players. Like, hey, you're going to only get two challenges a game. Mm-hmm. Have fun. Here you go. Here's this thing that we've never, ever done in the history of baseball. And then here you go. You just drop it in their lap and you put the burden on the player. Why wouldn't you just get the call right every single time?
Great question.
I don't get that aspect of it. Like, and the argument that I always hear is like, well, it's not completely accurate. Well, it's way more accurate than the human strike zone. It's like 95% accurate. Like, depending on the – sometimes it's – I don't even really understand the science. Somebody was trying to explain it to me earlier on Twitter. But they say they sometimes miss balls on the corners. But, like, if you're going to kind of miss balls on the corners, then why do you have challenges to begin with at all? And then if it's still 95 to 99% accurate compared to the human strike zone that's, like, what, 91% accurate? Well, the ABS is still better.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do the ABS full-time? I've been on this for a long time. Yesterday highlighted that, hey, this is kind of the reason why I want the ABS full-time. People will be like, well, the umpires want to be employed. They're still going to be employed. Who's going to give the ball to the catcher? Like, what? The home plate umpire is not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're still
gonna... there's more things that a home plate umpire does than call balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Is it the most important thing that a home plate umpire does? Yes, absolutely. But it's not the only thing that they do. Everybody's like, well, the Major League Baseball Umpire Union would hate this. Why? Why would they hate this? It's less stressful. There's less argument. They have less to do, and they're still going to be paid equal money. So they're going to get paid the exact same to do less with less stress.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they have any issue with this?
That sounds like a great...
I don't think that they would have an issue with this. I think people are just like, oh, they'd be upset. No, do you know that? Have you talked to these umpires? Well, do you have any idea?
And frankly, if they do, then get some scabs. Like, get other guys to come do it. There's other people in the world that can tell if a ball's foul or not.
Management Joe right there.
Yeah, just get some scabs. Like, you know, but like, if you can tell me.
I don't think the umpires would have any issue with this.
Yeah, if I could do the same exact job, well, actually not the same exact job. If I could be told, hey, you're going to get paid the same amount of money, but we're going to take something off your plate.
Yeah. Who wouldn't sign up for that?
Yeah.
We're going to get paid the same amount of money. We're going to eliminate 50% of your workload and 50% of your stress and anxiety.
Great.
What a deal. Like, that sounds terrific.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Like, people just assume they would be because they think umpires are evil. Like, oh, no, umpire. And some umpires are. These umpires are egotistical. They would never sign off on it. Yeah, I think they would. I think they would. I think they sleep better at night, too.
Like, the only time it would honestly come into play for umpires would be, I don't know how they would decide who like gets the big games if they remove this, because obviously like having a good strike zone is part of who gets the World Series and things like that. So how do you decide who gets those extra paychecks and maybe it just makes more money?
Well, but, the other calls.
Yeah, exactly. They get right most of the time. Yeah. But we have challenges still, and I just don't care. Like, just fix it.
I wish they would go
all
right.
Yeah, get the call right
every time.
We see all the time, not all the time, but a lot. Where in that exact situation last night, I've seen a couple times this year, where in that moment, the catcher and the hitter will both immediately tap their head. It doesn't matter what the call is, but they're both in that moment prepared. 3-2 count, critical part of the game. Just we're challenging it no matter what if both teams have a chance.
That's what Walker should have done, really, in hindsight.
Yes.
Like, take the pitch. You think it's ball four. You're thinking it's going to be called ball four, but you're doing it just in case. Like, okay, if you call that a strike, we're challenging it. And Walker's usually been really good about that.
For sure.
And Walker, like, I think does have a high baseball IQ. So I think he was just stunned by the call, and then he got caught. Like, oh, no, and caught with his pants down, which never want to do that.
No, it just sucks. And because maybe it was a tie game then.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the outcome. Like, maybe it changes the scenario. Maybe it changes the way everybody's pitched to and all that. But you lose by a run. You hit a couple of home runs in the ninth inning. If he reached via the walk and you still hit the couple of home runs in the ninth inning, you tie the baseball game. Is it the reason they lost? No. Could they have won the game if they get a ball four there? Yeah, they could have won it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could have came from behind to win it. Taylor Trammell hit another long dong.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he has to be in the lineup every time that you're facing a righty at this point. A lot of people want him in the lineup just period.
I'd be fine with that. I like Taylor Trammell. So, I mean, we talked about that when he started replacing Jake Myers was playing more often. But I think you're right. Like, there's a righty on the mound. He should be in center field. He hits tanks.
He hits the ball so far.
They all just like... they go way farther than the stats tell you they do.
I remember early last year when we were first like getting eyes on him, I was like, this guy's got thump, man. And people were like, no, he doesn't. You don't know ball. I was like, okay. Well,
he does. He's got thump.
We'll see if he has thump, because I think he has thump. Taylor Trammell this season against left-handed pitching only hits 167 with a 500 OPS.
That's bad.
Against right-handed pitching, 291 average, 832 OPS. Taylor Trammell in his career, 457 OPS versus lefties, 709 OPS versus righties. So whenever you see people like, why is Bryce Matthews pinch hitting for Taylor Trammell? Not that Bryce Matthews is a great option, but it's because there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound and Taylor Trammell cannot hit lefties.
Yeah.
So I'm not even to the play Taylor Trammell every day, you don't know ball Joe. Like, I'm not to that point. But Taylor Trammell should not – I'm talking about Spada.
I know, but –
Taylor Trammell should be in the lineup every single time that you're facing a right-handed pitcher. And if you're not playing him against lefties, understand. You're pinching him late in games because there's a lefty on the mound, understand. Which you had a better right-handed option off the bench, you don't. But Taylor Trammell needs to get outfield reps against right-handed pitching almost every game. Every game. Every game. No, almost every game.
He's in the lineup today. So
there's my stance.
He's batting sixth today.
Facing a righty, facing Joe Ryan. How's the lineup already out? Major League Baseball is like sucking lately.
Why, that's already out?
Yeah, who posted it?
McTaggart.
Man, McTaggart's beating Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he took a photo.
Doesn't he work for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, he took a photo.
Why is McTaggart beating them?
Because he probably saw it first.
Sheesh.
He just like hangs out there. He's like, if I hang out right here and get the photo, maybe Jeremy Brandon will quote tweet my tweet.
Should I do it? Should I give him a little bit of love?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should. Whoever tweets it first. If McTaggart gets it first, you gotta
go. Yeah, but I have biases.
No.
Well, I do.
Really?
But I have a Houston Cougar bias, and Brian McTaggart's Cougar.
Yeah, but then, like, I would think you would do McTaggart's every time.
Well, no, I try to be first.
Oh, okay.
Like, in MajorLeagueBaseball.com usually has it before these guys. So I know what time it comes out. Usually it's about 4 hours before first pitch at home. Usually it's about 3 hours before first pitch on the road. Mm-hmm. So I know when to start looking. Mm-hmm. And then I try to be the first one that posts because I've noticed that the algorithm kind of bumps up whoever's first when it comes to the lineup. Like whenever my What's Wrong with the Spotters lineup really pops off, it's usually because I'm first. And then, like, you know, if I'm doing something, I don't get around to it for like 30, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It usually doesn't do very well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's just like whoever they see it first. Bumps,
yeah. Yeah, it also helps whenever there's like a controversy in the lineup. Like, no Pena. It's like, oh, and then people are like, where's Pena? Where's Pena? Where's Pena? And then the more comments you get, the more it boosts it. Mm. Yeah, it's a game.
I'm trying to see if there's any controversy today in the lineup. There's not really.
Should I put, where's Pena?
Yes, you should.
Okay, I will.
Why is Pena not playing? Get back in there, you bum.
People are going to be like, he's landed on the ice. This is what's going to happen. Can I predict what's going to happen?
Yeah.
This is my new thing.
It's so obvious.
My new thing is whenever I like to just, I'm really getting a kick out of just posting obvious jokes and obvious sarcasm and then just like not putting the slash S and let everybody, like I did it today with LeBron. I said, LeBron, welcome to Houston. And people are like, why would they want that cancer? Ema hates him. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, he's a great player.
Replies are replies, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the algorithm, baby.
They're all created equal, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's
getting people's blood pressure up here at 3:13 in the afternoon.
But, I mean, he's not really even saying anything. I'm like, just LeBron, welcome to Houston.
People lose
their mind.
You might want to follow it up with, when are they trading for Bronny? Just to see people get upset at that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't really, I don't think he moves the needle, Bronny.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Would you trade a first for Bronny?
No.
Tweet that.
I can't stand Bronny.
I know.
I think Bronny's not an NBA player.
I don't think he is either.
Huge Nepo baby. Bronny James is not worthy of an NBA roster spot.
Bronny James might be one of the biggest Nepo babies of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know who'd be second.
I mean,
probably in the business world.
Sports world. I mean, you see it in baseball a lot back in the day when they had like they back in the baseball draft though, like the draft ended whenever everybody was like tired of drafting.
Yeah.
Like there was no limit back in the day to the Major League Baseball draft. It's like everybody finally taps out. Okay, we'll call it a day. So you saw dudes drafted all the time for favors. Like, oh, hey, that's the scout's son. We're going to draft that guy in the 72nd round.
It still happened not that long ago.
Well, the rounds are only 20 rounds now.
Yeah, so but before that, I mean, I guess J.C. Correa had a good runway a little bit.
J.C. Correa coached by Will Davis.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think the Astros drafted the Bregman brother, too.
Really?
I thought I saw
I didn't know Bregman had a brother.
No. Yeah.
Are you confusing Bregman with Michael Papirisky, the catcher they traded for Mauricio Dubon?
No.
They were like LSU brothers.
No. I'm looking at a video right here.
Bregman has a brother?
Yeah, it says Alex Bregman reacts to Astros drafting his brother, A.J.
I had no idea.
Yeah, in 2018. That's just a favor.
What round does it say?
That doesn't say here, but
Mike Piazza was drafted as a favor. Did you know that?
I knew
who was drafted super late.
Mike Piazza was drafted as a favor. I can't remember the story. It might have been like Lasorda's godson or something like that. Like, it was really like, I can't remember exactly the story, but Mike Piazza was drafted 100% as a favor. It was super late. Super late in the draft. Like 40th round, something like that.
Those were the days, man.
And he turned out to be one of the greatest offensive catchers in the history of the game.
Could you imagine being able to, at a bar, being like, yeah, I was drafted by the Pirates.
Yeah.
Didn't work out, but, you know, didn't have a spot for me. But
it says
I was drafted.
They drafted Correa and Bregman in 2018.
That's funny.
In the 33rd and 35th round.
So it was still super late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't say what round Piazza was drafted, but it says that Piazza was drafted by the Dodgers as a favor from Tommy Lasorda to Mike Piazza's father. It doesn't say the relationship, though, like how they were friends, but there you go. The more you know with Jeremy and Joe. 62nd round for Mike Piazza.
It's good value.
Mike Piazza. Is that the greatest Major League Baseball draft pick of all time?
It's probably the greatest draft pick period of all time.
62nd round.
He got drafted 55 rounds after Tom Brady got drafted.
Imagine that. You get drafted for the favor of a manager's friend.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be one of the greatest offensive catchers of all time.
Yeah, that's the best
62nd
draft
round.
Just from like one, I'm sorry to simplify it in this way, one Italian guy being like, I know that guy. He's great. Just that Italian favor led to a Hall of Famer.
He's the only Hall of Famer in that draft.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's
61
the
rounds of bums.
Jim Abbott was drafted in that draft. Okay. He was the eighth pick. So that class produced as many Hall of Famers as Jim Abbott has arms.
Two. One.
Abbott's got one arm.
I didn't know that.
You remember Abbott pitching?
No.
Abbott, when he had like a nub. Yeah. So he would put the glove on the nub. I think it was a lefty. And then he would throw the pitch. And as soon as he threw the pitch, he would slide his hand into the glove.
I didn't know that.
You never knew that?
No.
Oh, look it up. Look, the it's crazy to watch.
My previous co-host thought he hit a home run in a big league game. I was like, I don't think so.
That'd be crazy.
I was like, I don't think that he did.
That'd be the greatest.
I looked it up. He didn't. But I think he might have in minor league baseball.
That would have been the greatest athletic feat of all time.
Yeah.
If he would have hit. If he would have hit.
He did have two of those, so that's good. 713-780-3776.
Dad joke of the day.
This is a great. You're feeling it.
Ever since the dad joke, I
yeah, we gave him like the green light to do more dad jokes, and we kind of opened Pandora's box.
No,
in a way
he
that
saw
makes
the first one. He saw the first basket go in. He's shooting.
713-780-3776.
This is absurd.
Were you watching Jim Abbott do it? You didn't know who Jim Abbott was?
I can't believe you didn't see
that. Jim Abbott. He's a little bit. I mean, but you're younger than Joe.
Yeah.
Or at least the same age.
I'm younger.
He's younger.
I mean, Abbott is pretty old. But, yeah, I'm surprised you've never seen Jim Abbott.
No-hitter?
Jim Abbott was a good pitcher.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe an all-star once upon a time.
He was a
like, he had a legit career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he was the eighth pick of the draft.
Right.
Wait, did he have one arm when he was the eighth pick?
I don't remember. I don't think it. His baseball reference is hilarious. I don't think that he had an arm. I think it was like a lifelong thing, but I don't know for sure. Maybe like in childhood. I was watching, I was on TikTok last night, and I was watching Matt Rife do his stand-up, and a lot of times he just like kind of improvises with the crowd, and he saw a guy in the front row that only had one arm. He said, how'd you lose the arm? He's like, I had a bear attack me.
A bear?
A bear. He said a bear got his arm when he was like 13 years old. But anyways, Jim Abbott's baseball reference is hilarious. It says that he bats left-handed, throws left-handed, and then it has something that I've never seen for another player. It says Fields. And it says left as well.
That's them being like, he was one-handed without saying he was one-handed.
You never see that with anybody else.
Yeah, they're trying to put it in there.
According to Wikipedia, he was born without his right hand.
Oh, born, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was never an all-star, but he did finish third in Cy Young one year. I mean, he was legit. I mean, he had 87 career wins, 263 games.
4.25 ERA.
Yeah, he had some years, too, especially early in his career. Yeah, he was a legit pitcher.
How many career hits do you think he had?
Maybe. I mean, he pitched in the American League for most of his career, right?
Brewers in 99 is last.
So did he get a hit at all?
I got two hits here.
It's pretty solid.
2 for 24.
I wonder.
Imagine being the pitcher that gave up a hit to Jim.
One's John Lieber because I just watched a video.
How would the hit look like? Was it like a beating out, like an infield single?
It went right up the middle past the shortstop.
So it got to the outfield. It found grass.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. So, did he bat right-handed or left-handed?
whichever arm he had.
Right, but it's different because if I were only batting with my left hand, I would stand right-handed.
Yes,
I wouldn't stand left-handed and bat like that.
Yeah, because you would want the bottom.
Like, which side of the box would he be on? He like that, on the, I would have been on the right side of the box if I only had a left arm.
It looks like he was on the left side of the box.
That's crazy. He slaps at it. See, I would definitely bat.
Yeah,
he like right-handed
four,
side.
It's like a tennis forehand.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's a backhand.
Oh, if you're left-handed?
It depends if you're left-handed or right-handed.
If you're left-handed, I'm acting.
You're left-handed, it's a forehand.
Yeah, it's a forehand.
And he's left-handed, so yeah, you're right. Yeah, you hit like a – that's crazy.
Again,
I would bat from the right-handed side.
Imagine walking back to the dugout after giving up a hit to a one-handed pitcher.
Well, I bet you got a lot of grief. You said it was who? Who gave him one?
John Lieber.
John Lieber?
It's against the Cubs.
Is it at Wrigley?
No. I've seen two videos, both against the Cubs. I think both against Lieber. No, you're kidding. One's at Wrigley, one's not.
And they were both from the left-handed side of the plate.
Yeah, and his first hit was an RBI single.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What a stud, man.
He has three RBI.
What a stud.
Greatest athlete of all time.
He wasn't born with an arm. He was the eighth pick of the Major League Baseball draft.
He was only born with one arm. Yeah.
He's only born, what did I say?
He wasn't born with an arm.
That's accurate.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess.
That's true.
He was down one arm.
Gave an arm to the field. And he was still drafted number 8. So imagine how great he was in high school. I wonder if he was a two-way player. I wonder if he played other sports. He's a unicorn.
Yeah, there's a one-handed basketball, or there was a one-handed high school basketball player.
Yeah, I think he went to Memphis for a little bit.
D1 college, yeah.
There was.
He didn't really play, though. Yeah.
I watched him play.
That guy was a good athlete. He was at a game that I was at, actually. I think he was on a visit to Memphis, and
like
he was sitting
something courtside. Emmanuel or something, or Emmanuel something.
Like Hansel, maybe? Hansel Emmanuel?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I remember watching highlights of him. He was a like legit athlete, though.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was a freak athlete. He just, he didn't have much of a jump shot.
Force him to the right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's on the scouting report. That would be on the scouting report.
Yeah, you're right.
713-780-3776. So more about this baseball game as we get back. This is an ADHD show.
We had Sean.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the pitching.
I feel like this is my bad influence.
Cam had a double dong.
Yeah, he did.
Pull power, too. He had two home runs from the right-handed side of the plate.
Yeah, he smoked those things yesterday. That's
He's a good hitter.
Man, when he gets a hold of them, Jeremy, what do they do?
They go a long way.
A long way.
Yeah. He's got a bunch of talent. We know that with him. It's just a matter of putting together all that talent.
Yeah, and just finding that consistency.
Junkie says if you go full ABS, honestly, what's the point of having an umpire stand there just to hand the catcher a new ball? You could have a ball boy whose only job is to throw. Are you brand new to baseball?
Yeah.
Do you not realize what a home plate umpire does? He has to brush off the plate. He has to go out to the mound to break up the meeting.
Yeah. Or if there's a play at the plate.
If there's a play at the plate, he has to call him safer out.
Yeah, like there's...
He's got the third base line and the first base line up to the front of the bag.
Game 7 of the World Series last year had a bang-bang play at the plate. There has to be someone standing
there.
Batter's
interference, catcher's interference. Like, what do you... Like, there's more than just balls and strikes, guys, for home plate umpires.
Well, they got things to do.
Sheesh. He wants to replace the home plate umpire if they go full ABS with a bat boy.
Do people think when they say robo umps, they
some people
mean
do.
Like literally?
I think
like,
yeah.
Some people
like
do
the robot from the Jetsons standing behind
yes.
there.
Some people do. People are sending their nepo babies, Giannis and Thanasis or whatever his name is.
Thanasis.
That's his brother though. Does that count as nepo?
I think it does.
I think so too.
Yeah, it qualifies.
Ryan Ripken. Ryan Ripken was a legit big leaguer though. Or no, that was Billy Ripken. Billy Ripken was a legit big leaguer. I don't know anything about Ryan Ripken, actually. Did you not see what Bronny was doing to the Rockets in the playoffs? Need a bit of respect for him. You mean playing in garbage time late in the game? Like, what do you mean? He playing 2 minutes at the end of the second quarter?
Made a three.
The guy belongs in the G League. Junkie says he was Lasorda's godson. Okay, so I was right. Cody and Kobe Clemens. Which of the Clemens is the one that the Astros faced yesterday? Because that guy's not nepo. I mean, he's a big leaguer.
That's...
Both were really good college players.
Cody is the one that's in the league.
They were both pretty good. And then that one's obviously better.
It's Cody. Yeah, it was Cody.
Junkie says Abbott has two arms, one hand. I mean, he's got like half an arm. Like, I think it ended like around the elbow.
Yeah. And like functionally for baseball, he doesn't have a right arm.
Yes.
McGrady got a contract with the Skeeters. He's a nepo baby. Yeah, but that was a marketing thing. That was whenever they were independent league.
That's not the the definition of nepotism is it's a familial tie. That one's just like he has a brand.
I don't think that's actually a part of the definition of.
Oh, is it not?
No, I think it's just like implied.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it could be friendly. Yeah, isn't there a one-handed D lineman in the NFL? Eric DeBeyer, is he thinking about a firework guy?
No, or him, and then there's Shaq Griffin. Or Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah, the brother. He didn't play that long in the NFL, though. Yeah. He was a good player at UCF. I think he was a linebacker. Yeah, he was pretty good.
Was he a corner?
I think he was a linebacker.
His brother was the corner. He was the one-handed one was a rush.
He was a Texan for a little bit, the brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think he actually bashed the Texans on his way out. He said something. I think he bashed Frank Ross a year later in tweets. They both went to UCF. I think they were twins. You say they were twins? I think they were twins.
I know that they're brothers.
I think he lost his hand in either a fire or boiling water, something like that. Oof. Yeah, I remember that. I used to know that story. You are going to give the paraplegic community up in arms. Ha, 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 ha. Somebody said Blake Griffin's brother. Blake Griffin's brother was a pretty good player. He was also older.
Yeah.
He was also a year older.
There's it's one thing to be in the NBA and be by far the worst brother. It's another thing to only be in the NBA. Like, J.R. Smith's brother got a roster spot with the Knicks at one point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how down bad.
What was his name?
I think it was Chris Smith, I think was his name.
Sounds basic.
You're right, Sean.
Yeah. His name's Chris Smith? You've heard of this guy?
No, I just Googled it.
Yeah. And the Knicks who just won a championship, at one point, they're handing out roster spots to J.R. Smith's brother. That's how unserious they were.
I'd like to see Jim Abbott do that.
15 years ago.
Now, to be fair, he did play professional basketball overseas for another 10 years.
That's a good career.
Yeah. So, Bronny James could probably swing
he could.
That.
He could. Yeah, Bronny James is a pro for sure. I just don't think he's an NBA guy. Definitely a pro. Don't think he's an NBA guy. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the Peter Lambert side of this conversation. An Astro made his debut yesterday, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Got a major league debut last night. Joe is out on a certain pitcher. And then also the news on Pena. He's going to the injured list with a little calf strain. He's got too many muscles. Too many muscles for Jeremy Pena. Do you know something I asked ChatGPT today?
What'd you ask?
Well, I'll tell you next. 713-780. It pertains to Pena, though. 713-780-3776. Busy show. You can watch along twitch.tv/ESPN975. They're always very kind there, very mature. YouTube, ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian, what are you? S Mapes, right?
Sean A Mapes.
Sean A Mapes.
Call him Brian.
Did I?
Yeah.
Old habits.
Brian, what are
old
you?
Old habits die hard. But that's funny that I said Brian, but I said S. Mapes.
That's why it threw me off for a second.
I'm at Jeremy Branham. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Maybe it's because I had two creeks on my mind. That's why I, for a moment, blanked on Sean's name. But it's always a good time out there at Two Creeks. It's good for Brian. It's good for Sean. It's good for Joe and I. It's good for you and your family as well. Maybe it's just good for you. Maybe you want to escape the family, actually, and you just want a little getaway for yourself. Two Creeks Crossing Resort is a great place to do that. Great place to take the family, though, as well. They believe in Southern hospitality at Two Creeks Crossing Resort as well. They're going to take care of their visitors. Food trucks are out there all the time. They have live music that is awesome, weekend activities, always figuring something out to do with the kiddos. Plus, look, nature, right? 92 acres of property out there, Two Creeks. It's not just in the name. There are two creeks out there that run alongside their property, which is a great way to teach the kids how to fish because there's good fishing in there. They're going to be biting. And then also you can stop by the catch and release pond, the big lake in the middle of the property. That way you can teach the kiddos how to fish before you go over to that creek. You can kayak the creeks. They got pickleball courts out there for you. Wildlife is awesome. Green spaces out there you don't see in the city. Fantastic as well. Some of the best fishing in Texas. They also they have the new Blue Bayou Bend out there. It's been open for a couple of months now, and it is great. The lazy river around it. You're going to enjoy your time at Blue Bayou Bend inside of Two Creeks Crossing Resort. The pool's still out there, of course. Swamper's still out there as well. You're going to love it. If you already have an RV, just pull up the RV. They have the perfect spots for you, RV hookup spots. But also, they got glamping for you. You see that all the time nowadays. They got a treehouse even. You walk up the steps into a tree, and it's right there, perched, a little cabin in the tree. Waterfront cabins too, which are right there on the creek. You're gonna love it. Kids are gonna love it. The significant other is going to love it too. So book your stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy Pena, as Brian likes to say, landed on the injured list with a strained left calf. Chandler Rome with a quote on from Pena. Jared Pena said he had been playing through left calf pain for a week and a half, and it gradually got worse. Pena reiterated what Joe Espada said last night, that they expect this to be a short stint. So there's the latest on Jeremy Pena, as Brian likes to say.
Don't love that.
Which part?
That it's been bothering him for a week and a half, and then I'm surprised that, like, they think it's going to be short. Well, it's been bothering you for a little bit. You sure it's going to be a short stint? Just the 10-day? I hope so.
I think it's better. I mean, I don't know the degree of the injury. This is always the hang up with injuries, is like, okay, they just might be trying to nip it in the bud. That way it's not an issue the rest of the year. Now, even if it's the minimum amount, he comes off the IL like 3 days before the All-Star
just
break.
Wait.
So it's like, that's what I think. Like if it's significant enough to put him on the IL, which I do like erring on the side of the IL, so I'm not going to contradict myself here. Like, if you know a guy's going to miss somewhere between 5 and 7 games, I'm of the belief just put him on the IL. That way you protect the player against the player. He's not trying to rush himself back. He's not coming back too early. Okay, IL, you got 10 days. Go hang out. Go to La Playa. Figure it out. Chill. All that stuff. This is kind of the same thing. Like, if you're going to get him back off the 10-day and there's only 3 games before the All-Star break, why don't you just go ahead and turn, you know, a 10 games missed into 13 games missed, but it's like 19 days.
Yeah.
I think it just makes sense. Without knowing the degree of the calf strain, I think I would play it uber safe with Pena, who's had muscular injuries these last 2 years, and just be like, hey, let's focus on post-All-Star break for, you know, getting you back.
Yeah, they got 11 games left before the break. Just let him sit out.
Oh, it's less than I thought.
Yeah, what's the point of...
It's right, because you have a bunch of off days. You have like, two off days, I think.
Yeah, that looks right. Yeah, you're off the 2nd and the 9th. So you have 2 off days between now and then. So
just wait.
Yeah, like we're going to bring him back for the 3 games against the Rangers there. That's your last 3 games.
Those are critical.
I know,
critical games. Okay, I didn't realize it was the Rangers. That kind of throws a wrench in the face.
Oh, that changed your thought?
No, I wouldn't want him to play all 3 games, but maybe it's a thing where he plays the first game and the 3rd game of the series. Or maybe it's just 1 game. Like, would you take 1 game of Jeremy Pena over 3 games of Raynel Delgado being on the bench?
I'd just rather wait.
Yeah, I would take 1 game over Pena. Now, it does come with a little bit of risk without knowing the degree of the injury. But if it was, like, the worst team in baseball, okay, Pena, just chill. But it is the Rangers, and you are chasing the Rangers, and they're very much in the thick of things, too.
Yeah, you do have another – you have one more series with them. It'll be their 5th series coming out of the break. So it's July 31st, August 2nd. So it's not like it's the last time you'll see him this season. So I get your vantage point of why it might be beneficial to play him, but I would rather just be precautious. It's been bothering for a week and a half. What's the point? Like, just give him the extra time. Have him be back Friday, July 17th against the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just 100%, though, whenever he comes off the IL.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe it's a 5-game injury,
no, you're right.
But they want to be safe with him, and they're being safe with him by using the 10-day IL.
Yeah.
So that's like, we're not privy to that information. Like, I'm not going to die on this hill. If they bring him back for the Rangers, I'm going to trust. Do they deserve that trust? No, but this year's been better than years past. That he is 100%. If they wait until after the All-Star break, okay, yeah, totally get that. That makes perfect sense. So it's not a Taos Hill I'm willing to die on. Now, if he comes back for the Rangers series and he re-aggravates it, I'm going to cuss them till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah, you will.
So
big cussing.
They better be right.
Big cussing,
now, that's
Jeremy
the thing,
Brian.
Though. Like, if you're going to bring them back before the All-Star break, I get it. You just better be right.
Yeah, if he goes out
better
there.
Better be right.
And which, I know it's been better this year. It feels like.
Yeah, I think it has been a little better.
Have they had a ton of soft tissue injuries this season? Because, like, it's mostly just been, like, arm issues.
I mean, Pena.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than Pena?
Like.
I mean, yeah. Jose Altuve, Yiner, they both had obliques.
Oh, but,
I guess they were.
Altuve came back like
Taylor
Wolverine. Okay, barely missed any time.
He did come back fast. Now, he had been producing.
Maybe he should have taken
a look. What was Trammell's? Trammell's was a what?
I don't
remember. Lamont Wade was a what?
They've had
a fair share. Myers was an oblique, too.
Yeah, I can't get over Jake Myers coming back and – running out to center field and getting hurt.
That was insane.
We need more than
12 months away from that incident to build trust.
That was last year.
I know, but it's still...
That's why this year's been better. Like, look what happened last year.
They haven't had that.
Something that I've never seen happen before in baseball history. Like, of all my time watching baseball, I've never seen a player come off an injury and get hurt running to the outfield.
I mean, Yordan Alvarez was taking batting practice in West Palm Beach, and they found he had a broken bone in his hand. So, like, yeah, it's better this year. Season. Things are way better this year.
They are. Kyle Tucker was running.
Things are improving a great deal.
Kyle Tucker was going to just miss a weekend series and then come back and miss 3 months. And
he ran. He had a broken bone in his leg.
Yeah, he ran on the treadmill with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you do take it on face value that he has, this has been something that he's been playing with and is just, you know, needs 10 days to get over it, then yeah, playing, I mean, at that point, it'd be two games over, what, like 17 days, factoring in the IL stint and then the break after, the All-Star break after that, like, yeah, he probably could play two Rangers games if we're taking everything at face value that the Astros are saying or how the Astros are presenting an injury to the public.
Yeah.
But we also just talked for like 2 minutes about why we shouldn't trust that because they, in the very recent past, they've done the same exact
different
thing.
Training staff.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Mostly same training staff with a different head of the department.
Yeah. So,
which is why, like, I don't give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's why it's like in a normal, you know, if I Men in Black memory erased what the Astros have been about on the injury side, I would have been like, yeah, I think he can play in a game or in a series where you're playing the first place team that you're down two games against. Yeah, like,
I do think they've done things way different this year, though. Yeah, I really do.
No, they've done
really
more imaging. They've been more this was
more transparent.
They maybe play.
Maybe I mean, safer on the IL stuff.
I think yesterday was the first time we heard the word discomfort. And I think it came from Jeremy Pena. That's the only reason why we heard it.
I mean he's got a calf strain. That sounds discomfortable.
It does.
Not comfortable.
Junkie says Kevin Biggio. I'm surprised that Kevin Biggio has not gotten a chance, quite frankly. But not a good defender, and I think he's got limited positional flexibility. He would also have to be on the 40-man. That always presents a little bit of an issue. Rocky Pena's injury-prone. Not sure he's going to be worth the money to resign. I'm out on the re-signing of Pena. I would have been out before even yesterday, though. He's going to be 30 when he's a free agent. How are dudes at baseball when they're in their 30s? Like, which 30-year-old that's paid a massive contract gives you a return on that contract
to where it's like positive, where you're, it's not like an overpay.
Like even the ones that have left Houston, like Kyle Tucker, no. Alex Bregman, no. George Springer, no. Garrett Cole's probably been the best, but probably hasn't even lived up to his return.
No, I mean, he's been excellent. Just he missed a lot of time from the Tommy John.
Yeah. I wouldn't re-sign Pena before the injury concerns. Now you throw in injury concerns the last 2 years, it's an automatic no. I'm trading him in the offseason. Now the labor dispute does throw a huge wrench into that, which is problematic.
Yeah, the only guy I can think of in baseball that's like for sure giving you a good return is probably Harper. He's only 33.
And Harper's contract was also not that massive AAV because you signed him for so long. And he was also like – he also when he signed with the Phillies, he was still like pretty – like what, 25, 26?
26.
Yeah, I was going to say he signed – whatever, 7 years ago.
Yeah, he signed when he was 20. He entered free agency super early. Yeah. Payne is entering free agency when he's 30. Like, you want to re-sign that for a seven-year deal? No, thanks.
It's like Trey Turner.
And he's a shortstop. Like
And
he's a shortstop. Like, shortstops fade defensively.
I was thinking of shortstop. Like, that's where I thought you were going, with like signing a 30-year-old
I'm
shortstop.
I'm that way with 30-year-olds, period. Yeah. Now, shortstops does magnify it. Like, Bryce Harper's a corner outfielder that they had to move to first.
Yeah, Trey Turner is he's 33. And this, he's finally fallen off this season pretty dramatically.
Yeah. That'd be year three.
He hit 304 last year, sitting 235 this season.
Yikes.
Probably Corey Seager's a good one. Like, he's played well for the most part throughout his contract. But you're right. Most 30-year-olds are not healthy.
I don't think we've ever looked at Jeremy Pena as bad as a Corey Seager, though.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is also, we're talking about 2 years now.
When he's 28, 29 years old, which should be, or 27, 28, when it's the prime of your career.
Yeah.
So you'd be paying Pena well into his 30s when shortstops fade defensively for what he did in his prime. And you know you're paying him into his post-prime. So I'm out on the re-signing of Pena. Plus, you can get a value before he leaves you for free agency. Now, will there be moves this offseason? Probably not. So that's problematic. That is an issue. Pete says maybe Astros need to entertain trade possibilities for Pena. Pete, that's a great idea. I love that idea. That is a fabulous, world-class idea.
Just in the offseason.
Yeah, I'm not doing it at the deadline. I feel like you do owe it to this team to see it through. Like, they were way behind. They fought back. They're in the race. I do think you owe it to this team to, like, hey, let's see what we do. Let's chase the fight.
Yeah, I don't want them to, like, necessarily unload their farm system to really chase the fight, but keep it together. What's the point of blowing it up at this point?
I mean, the point would be to reload the farm system, but
yeah, you can do that later.
You can do that in the offseason.
With a GM that's under contract.
Maybe David Stearns. Junkie, look at Manny Machado. Yikes. I mean, you can look all over baseball, the history of 30-year-olds who've signed these massive deals that are awful. Miguel Cabrera. Remember Chris Davis? Remember that guy? He had like a 40-home-run year. They paid him this massive contract. I think he was making like $30 million up until like 2 years ago. Yeah, he had like two big years.
Yeah.
It's, you don't pay guys into their 30s. Our fan favorites are showing you this.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman is showing you this. George Springer is showing you this. Kyle Tucker is showing you this. And you know one that's close to home that's showing you this?
Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
George Springer inside the park last
night. Carlos Correa.
Well, it might have been Aaron.
Carlos Correa's had a good year before he got hurt.
Yeah. That part.
Got hurt.
We don't even have a top 60 prospect in the farm system. That's not a great system. But I wouldn't trade Nayans and I wouldn't trade Kevin Alvarez. I would just kind of like, hey, we're going to let you do this thing this year. Yeah. We might help you with some of our B, C-level prospects.
Bargain shop.
Yeah. Maybe we add a reliever for, you know, a C-plus level prospect. Maybe we add a corner outfielder for a B-minus level prospect. But our top five prospects are staying. But we're also not going to sell. So you're doing this little, like, you know, you're standing right firmly on the fence.
Maybe you can unload one of your pitchers if you get lucky.
Let's talk about the pitching. Peter Lambert yesterday. What did you make of that performance? Miguel Yolola made his Major League Baseball debut. I liked what I saw. And then Joe hates another Latin guy. He hates a certain pitcher. He'll tell you who that pitcher is when we come back. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN at 97.5. You know what I really like? Federal American Grill. That food there is so good. Also, the Summer Sunset Social Hour. That's some good alliteration. That's going on at Federal American Grill right now. Extended for the summer. So much time for you to enjoy $10 appetizers, $7 cocktails, wine, $5 beer, signature drink special. Summer Sunset Social Hour at all six of Federal American Grill's locations. Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, The Woodlands, Downtown, River Oaks. 3 p.m. until the sun goes down all summer long. How about that? It's hot during the summer. You're thirsty. You need a drink. Federal American Grill is going to allow you to have drinks at a very special price. 3 p.m. until sunset all summer long. And while you're there, how about these appetizers, these bites you can get for 10 bucks? Cheeseburger, egg rolls, burger sliders, Cajun chicken sliders, barbecue short rib sliders, Reuben sliders, every slider you can imagine. The barbecue short ribs, too. Underrated cut of meat. Federal American Grill, also a great place to watch your soccer right now. Downtown location only, 1221 McKinney Street. You can catch all the excitement of the soccer tournament at Federal American Grill's downtown location. You do have to reserve your spot. Reservations required. TheFederalGrill.com to do that. But they have live music starting at 5 p.m. every day. 7 100-inch TV screens, live stream of all the matches, free souvenir cup, free welcome drink, food for purchase. $10 cover, though. Reservations required. And also an opportunity at the VIP experience. $85 a person includes access to a private patio, private TVs, dedicated server for the VIP section, free welcome cocktail, three-course prefix menu, free souvenir cup, and free Don Julio 1942 mini bottle. You can't beat that. So get over there for the federal watch parties, get over there for summer sunset social hour, or just take the wife out for dinner. Be a good husband. Be a good boyfriend. Be a good wife. Be a good girlfriend, too. Federal American Grill, where great food meets every occasion.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
France and Sweden about to get underway. The beautiful game. We're on France, minus 1.5 in on France, over 2.5 goals. So, 1.5 goals, right?
2.5.
2.5 goals. Go France. Go France. Rocky saying Alpi has deleted photos. Kevin Durant has deleted photos of the Rockets on their Instagram.
That's a weird thing athletes do. I'm not worried.
Fred VanVleet did that. Why do athletes do this?
I don't know. I don't get, like... When should you delete photos from, like, Instagram?
Probably whenever you've broken up with an ex.
Exactly. Like, that's, like... So that's what this insinuates.
I wouldn't consider a former franchise an ex, though.
Exactly.
Like, That's but, a way different. Like, is the next team going to be jealous that you still have pictures of your Rockets gear?
Was I supposed to delete all my photos of Clanton Wex when I got hired here?
Yes.
It's just
yes.
Forget those guys.
Yes.
Like the reason that you break up, the reason that you delete pictures of your ex off your social medias though, is out of respect for your new significant other.
Yes.
If Alpi Şengün got traded today to the Celtics, are Boston fans going to be upset that he has Rocket gear photos on his IG?
No.
It's so stupid. This is the stupidest thing athletes do. Well, it's not the stupidest thing athletes do, Terry and Arnold, but it's the stupid thing that athletes do.
Yeah. The non-illegal things that they do.
Yeah. It's the trivial things. This is so
Rozier,
stupid.
Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
Why?
Why
do they do this?
And then
it's because they seek attention.
The unfollowing. Yeah.
It's so with weird.
That, it's like, what are we?
Children.
Now, I think with the unfollowing, I think it might be weirder that people go out and search for that.
Yeah.
They search to see if Kevin Durant still follows the Rockets.
Just periodically.
Yeah. That's just weird behavior.
That is weird behavior.
But they know that if they find it and they put it on X, they're going to get big numbies.
See, I don't follow athletes.
I don't either. You know why? Most of them are boring.
I just have zero interest. If they're going to post something that's of significance, I'll find a way to see it. I won't discover it, but somebody else will discover it, and then I'll see it.
It'll end up on your For You page, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care about this. Peter Lambert yesterday, thoughts on his outing?
Not bad.
Yeah, just give so many dongs.
Yeah, the home run was obviously a problem, but the stuff around that was okay in this game. I mean, it wasn't – so it's definitely not his best start of the season, but four earned runs, It could have been a lot worse with the way the ball was leaving the ballpark at times, but I thought he held himself in check for the most part.
For a bad start, it wasn't an awful start.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense. It wasn't a good performance, but a line score for a guy who didn't have his best performance. He still gave you 5 2/3. He kept your team in the game. The home runs were an issue. Walked a few. Couldn't get through that sixth inning. But if this is his worst starts of a bad start, it was okay-ish.
Now, I think
it wasn't being knocked down the first.
Yeah. Now, something I think to kind of with how Arrighetti, it was okay, pay attention to the walks. See how things change. He's given up, after the three yesterday, 8 home runs this month. He's given up a home run every single one of his starts in June. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, where the entire season before that, it was 2 home runs. So that's something I think just to keep an eye on going forward with him, if he's just going to start giving up dongs left and right.
I'll keep an eye on it.
That's a problem. But I think last night was fine. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, same. Miguel Yolola made his big league debut. Looked pretty dang good.
I'll tell you what, Jeremy.
Flirted with a little bit of trouble in the ninth, but got out of it. 4 Ks and 2 shutout innings.
This is one of those moments where we say Jeremy Brandon was right.
About what?
He's good in the bullpen.
Oh, I think he is a reliever, yeah.
Yeah, it looked good. I liked it.
His stuff plays.
Yeah, it plays. It plays in that role.
Him and Santa give you a little bit of, hey, next year this bullpen ain't gonna be too bad.
No, if you're not able to, Abreu's gone.
Oh yeah.
But if you were to say if you're not able to retain Okert's services because he gets a big contract elsewhere, there's some pieces here to where maybe as you're trying to figure out how the Astros are gonna spend their money in the offseason, maybe they don't need to put a ton of attention into the bullpen. In the offseason.
Yeah, I think Yolola's a big league reliever. I think Santa's a big league reliever. They have other guys too, like a Blue Ball. Blue Ball's been pitching really well lately.
Yep. That's 3 young arms in your pen that you can hopefully rely on for the next 6 seasons.
Big righties.
Just guys that can go out there and just give you good depth and into the bullpen on a daily basis. I like Yolola's debut was everything you could have hoped for. Getting out of some trouble. Strikeouts are there. Stuff looked pretty nasty, so.
Oh.
What?
Rocky said he was kidding about those people Instagram dumping. I knew he was. Oh. It's still a stupid thing that they do. So who's this pitcher that you hate?
De Los Santos.
What's your beef with De Los Santos?
It just hasn't been very particularly comforting recently.
No, that's true.
It's not that I wouldn't say I don't hate him.
I mean, it says right here in the rundown, Joe, I hate Enya. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say Enya De Los Santos should be the next guy to go when Javier comes back.
Yeah,
I mean, that's synonymous with hate.
It's not synonymous
with hate. He should lose his job.
You're calling for his job. That's hatred.
Well,
I
would rather Christian Javier not have a job, but I don't think I have a choice in that one.
Pick your poison here. Pick your Latin poison, Joe.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're getting Javier's getting picked for us.
I don't think Eniel De Los Santos is going anywhere. He's been their highest leverage reliever, or the highest leverage righty reliever.
I mean, maybe it's Pearson first, but I haven't been very impressed with him recently.
But they use him late in games. Like, you realize that he's not on the chopping block.
You don't think he is at all?
No, he wouldn't be their highest leverage righty reliever. They literally use him as their highest leverage righty reliever. You don't go from the highest leverage righty reliever to off the team completely. Usually it's gradual. Look at Brian Abreu. Brian Abreu, the highest leverage arm to start the season. Then it's like, he can't no longer be that guy. So now he's like kind of high leverage, and then it's like, medium leverage, and then it's like low leverage. Yeah, Eniel De Los Santos has been their highest leverage righty. He's going nowhere.
Yeah, I saw.
Brian Abreu would be right now. Brian Abreu would be DFA'd before Eniel De Los Santos.
Oh, I mean, I'm down for that.
Right now.
That just doesn't feel like that's plausible.
He's pitching in more higher leverage situations than Abreu, and he's got club control, whereas Abreu's done at the end of the year.
Yeah, just, he's got a 12 ERA right now in June.
So what? Oh, Eniel?
Yeah. So no. It's just like, it's more of just like, it's the math problem of as these guys start coming back, how do you start piecing them all? Now, maybe Yolola just goes back down to the minors.
Yeah. Which, they would do that for, not that it's the best thing to do.
No, well, that's the problem, right? Is like what's best for the Astros and what they're going to have to choose and do are very different things right now. And if De Los Santos is trending in this direction, then I think eventually he'll be a guy that you would not want on this team.
The Astros have how many starters right now? They have five, or is it six now? No, it's still six because Javier just took Dung's spot. So you still have six starters. You got Hunter Brown, mm-hmm. You got Arrigetti, you got Emi, you got Lambert, you got Burrows pitching tonight, and you have Javier. Mm-hmm. So I think that the pecking order that you would see, depending on which rotation you're going to, which maybe they just piggyback Javier and Arrigetti or whatever. So that leaves you with seven relievers. So the pecking order would go, Yolola would be sent down first. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm still torn on Blue Ball Lambert or Blue Ball Pearson. I don't know which of the two they would go because I think they like Pearson and he doesn't have options, whereas Blue Ball has options. So, like, Blue Ball would be somebody that would be on the chopping block there. I think Arrigetti has options. So, like, I know Arrigetti has options, but I think they would go Arrigetti, who has options, before they lose Eniel De Los Santos. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing with Burrows. So, like, I think Eniel is very safe. Not that I'm happy with how he's pitching.
Yeah.
I'm not too bullish about his future, honestly. But just his usage of him is, I think, a huge clue that they have zero intention of doing that.
Yeah, the Blue Ball versus Pearson one would upset me if they chose Blue Ball to go down.
So Pearson's,
and like he's fine. Like it's just, I think Blue Ball's better.
I think he's way better.
It's not.
It's an options thing.
Yeah,
it's an option. Don't lose it. Now Pearson's peripheral numbers are actually better than I would think. They're actually pretty.
The Savant numbers are pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you think he would get picked up if they?
I do.
Okay.
He's not making much money.
Yeah. So that's which that does complicate it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I don't think he would clear waivers. So if you were to DFA Pearson, you make him subject to waivers. I think it's very clear because he's making very little money and his analytical stuff is pretty solid that he would get claimed. So I actually I like Blue Ball more than Pearson too. I agree with you. But if I were to predict what they would do, I think they would send Blue Ball down before Pearson.
I think you're right. I just don't like it.
Agreed.
Yeah. And just you're trying to get better and you're going to be willingly putting Javier and McCullers on this staff at some point. It's not good.
They kind of need to flip Abreu or like just Abreu. Hey, does anyone want a interesting reclamation piece that, you know, is hard up for righty arms? Like Abreu, we'll take some of your trash just to like open
Why
up
Why would
a
you
spot.
Take somebody's trash though? Why wouldn't you? I mean, you could just cut him.
Yeah, I guess it's just like partially just he might have value. So someone might want to like cut the line in the waiver order there. But it's like. I do kind of feel like that might be the way to like get a righty spot out of here on a guy that we are pretty – I mean, the three of us are pretty much out on.
Well, I'm not entirely out on Abreu.
Oh, okay.
I would like to try to salvage him. I would like to be the team that salvages him because I just think his upside is worth the risk.
Is there enough time between today and August 3rd in your mind to – salvage him?
Like before, I mean, he's been pitching better.
Yeah.
He's been pitching better.
But at some point, like, to really salvage him, you want him to replace De Los Santos
and then you get rid
in
of
a
De
high
Los
leverage
Santos.
Situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't want him to be a guy.
I don't know if you need him to be a leverage arm, but...
It's just the, like, well, we like, you know, obviously his debut was yesterday, but, like, Eola, Blue Ball, Pearson. It's, like, a bunch of guys that, like, we kind of like, and it's, like, this guy on an expiring contract that's trending in the wrong direction. It's like, well, the way to solve this problem would maybe just get rid of Abreu.
I mean, that's in play. I think it's in play.
Yeah.
I mean, they use Daniel De Los Santos in more leveraged spots than Abreu, and I'm pretty sure De Los Santos has years of club control, whereas Abreu's up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I do think it's in play. Junkie's asking, how hard does Pearson top out at? I mean, I think he's hit a hundo this year, hadn't he?
I believe so.
I think he's hit a hundo. He averages 97.5.
Nice.
So, I mean.
That means that's a grab.
Love it. We gotta
people kind of overrate me a little bit.
Down.
People overrate me. I think he's hit 100 this year. I think he's hit triple digits. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll get back to some baseball a little bit later. Let's get to the top things going on in the NBA. Kawhi going to Toronto, reunited with Drake. And then LeBron. LeBron breaking up with the Lakers before the Lakers break up with him. And also, what are the Rockets up to? Are they going to do anything smart this offseason? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.